With the NFL season kicking off Thursday and the Miami Dolphins playing a week from Sunday, we are going to talk about what our expectations are. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective here on this Friday. Before we jump into anything, real quick, we want to ask you guys in the chat, would you be okay if we went a little early? If we went from 6 to 7, 6:30 to 7:30? Comment below if you're watching this later on. Also comment over in the chat.
We're talking about just Friday's show.
Just Fridays. Monday will still be 7:30, 8:30. We're talking
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesdays will still be 7:30, 8:30. We're trying to figure out Fridays because everyone wants to go out Friday. We're holding Omar up right now. You plans. So we're trying
Omar. I'm reading Omar the Bible, Freddy.
He's got to go to Omar. Night got church. Bible study at Tuesdays.
They got night church. So let us know if, you know, 6 to 7 is good, 6:30 to 7:30. Let us know in the chat or below. Also, don't forget to check out SeatGeek, our sponsor for today. Fantastic, fantastic app. 28 million downloads, 70,000 events, whether it's concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Check them out. Use the promo code FINS, F-H-I-N-S. You get $20 off your first purchase. Go check them out. Also, speaking of checking them out, you could check us out on all podcasts that you can find, either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. Go check us out. Give us a 5-star rating. It really helps get us up there. And if you want to become a member, hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of great perks. You see our faces. You get that little emojis. We're going to add emojis during the season. You get to get your name at the end. You get a little pop-up that lets us know how long you've been a member, and you get to get a question in there. So,
hey, listen, I am so shocked and disappointed in Dolphin fans because last year I advised them not to go to the Green Bay game. They did not listen. Everybody complained. I said, I told you. This year, you know what the Dolphin fan road game people have picked is?
Buffalo, ain't it?
Buffalo.
I'm going to be there.
And I'm thinking to myself, why, people? Why do you torture yourselves like this?
No, that ain't fair, Omar. I've never been to Buffalo Stadium. And this is the last year. This is the last year it's going to be able to go to the old stadium because they move in the new one next year.
Well, so, why do you want to see the old one and not the new one? Even though Buffalo is a nice stadium.
I want to see both.
I'm not gonna deny Buffalo is a nice stadium, and going to Buffalo before it gets frigid cold is not a bad idea.
If
you haven't gotten your tickets, SeatGeek, use the FINS code and you can get $20 off your seat. But man, this Buffalo trip, you people are gluttons for punishment.
It's gonna be cold in week three.
No,
we're gonna get our butts whooped. That's what he's talking about.
Man, don't listen to Omar. Ladies and gentlemen, do not listen to Omar. We're gonna be a
road trip. Take a road trip someplace you're gonna enjoy. Go to Carolina.
I was about to say that Panthers game.
I'm like, what? Why do y'all just make this hard on yourselves?
We gotta be there for our team.
Atlanta be nice to go.
Atlanta's nice. You got good food. You got, you know, you're not gonna have an issue getting tickets.
Madrid. You really want to go somewhere?
That's expensive. That's really expensive. I'm not even paying for it, and I can tell you it's expensive.
But like I said at the intro, season's starting, man. We made it. We made it through the off season. We're here. Season's going to start. I want to talk about something first. I want to get it out of the way because it's something that we've been talking about all off season. It's something the fans been talking about all off season. And Chris Greer addressed it. And he's talking about the reset, right? So that kind of, you know, goes in line with our expectations. Now, he said, and I quote, the reset was more about financial philosophy than it is about the season. He says, we're always going to try to win this season. He, from the beat writers, and then we'll get to TD, hearing him say reset when you guys were there, did that make you think like, oh boy, you know, this season's going to be a wash? Or do you still have that mindset of you don't win? This is it. I'm going to start with Omar.
All I thought my whole time was finally you admit that this is a reset. It's not a rebuild, but it's a reset. It's a change in your philosophical and financial approach. And I wrote a column in the Miami Herald, like, you know, the reality of life, and this is one thing that I've truly learned in all my wonderful years of life, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be cheap and you want to go, you know, buy the $5 sushi, you know, you're going to get what you paid for.
Wrong. I paid $1.10 for sushi in Japan, and that thing was mwah.
Right, I guess it depends where you pay for it, too.
Yeah, well.
I paid for the plane ticket, but was more than
yeah, he was buying sushi at 7-Eleven and swears by it. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you when you build your roster, we went out, we got Larry Borum, mm-hmm. and you know, and Alexander Madison and Farrell Brown, and you know, no disrespect to a lot of those guys, because Alexander Madison was a lot better than I expected him to be. But you went dollar store shopping. You got James Daniels at a discount because he was injured, and that's how you built the back end of your roster. So does it surprise anybody that they made 6 additions last week? Like, nope. You know, when the waiver wire was out there and you were just picking up everybody's scraps, that's just what you got to do at this point in year when you have not put together a good roster, and you have not put together a good roster because you haven't put money behind it. Yes, players are getting expensive and you let players go for the last 3 years, but that's what happens when you start to build a roster poorly.
Yeah, like you said, though, the evidence already was there, because the only decently expensive contract they gave out this offseason was to James Daniels, and it was 3 for $24. Mm-hmm. And then it was in sharp contrast to last year, where it was like, you get a new deal, big money. And it didn't work out, and it got him in a bad place, and they needed to do a different approach. And obviously Chris Greer is not going to say, well, we're expectations still to win, because yeah, they still have good frontline talent. It's just that the depth's not there. Even though some media members whose name shall remain nameless, no, whose name shall not be spoken. I'm not, why are you feeling attacked? I didn't say you. We're always vastly overrated. Some of the young players at certain positions, edge defender, wide receiver, thinking about, because I heard, well, we could trade one of our excess edge defenders for a quarterback or a backup offensive lineman. And I'm like, in what universe? I mean, and none of the Dolphin players were claimed by anybody, which tells you, and then a bunch of them also are.
And Grayson Murphy's still unemployed, which blows my mind.
What does that tell you? No offense, but if he was that great a player, do you think he would have been signed by now? I mean, come on. And he's not the only one. There are several who are still looking for new teams. So I think we vastly overrated what we saw from some of the young players, where the front line of the roster is not bad. The back end of the roster is kind of weak.
TD?
I told everybody this was going to happen 2 years ago, and this goes hand in hand with my resume of being a Dolphin hater, supposedly, because I say these things are going to happen and try to predict what's going to happen. The writing was on the wall. You overinflated the top end of the roster, and if they didn't get the job done, it was downhill from there. But this is what's most important for all Dolphin fans. The man used the word reset. Therefore, we have just entered into a new era of Miami Dolphins football. Whatever direction that is that they're going from here, I don't know, but we have entered a new era, which means one technically is closed and it has officially failed from the goals that were set forth. So now, and I'm glad you started with this, Doug, and prefaced that at the beginning, because it helps you set the expectation. Mm-hmm. And I think people, when we talk about expectation, we can no longer use the one that was set years ago that we've been waiting on, because we have officially reset. Not rebuilt, not retooled. We're resetting. He's making sure that's why all those contracts are the way they are. Yep. He wants to go ahead and get some of that negative out of the way, so that we can try to go at this thing again. I don't know what the approach to go at it again is, but that's where we are with it. So at the end of the day, I do want to bring this up, though. I'm starting to feel more and more like Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are safe.
Well, that's my next question. Well, you already answered yours. Real quick,
Doug, can I interject real quick here?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up as a question. Was it a total fail, this whole rebuilding that started in 2019, considering, and I understand it's a low bar, but considering the Dolphins made the playoffs in back-to-back years, something that had not happened in 20 years?
Fail.
Yes. Fail.
Fail. Now, I'll give you this, Alan. If we kept building through the draft and made the playoffs and did what we did, that would be fine. But the talent that we brought in via trades and free agency over the last 3 years, failed.
Playoffs back-to-back year, which they hadn't done in 20 years.
Here's my thing about it. And they didn't get to the ultimate destination, which is a failure, which it is what it is.
In that part, yes.
But when you factor in that in 2022, they played in a playoff game without their starting quarterback. 2023, they played in a playoff game with, what, 8 starters sidelined because of injury, no defensive ends, half of the secondary is gone. And not an excuse, but just a reasoning. Just a reasoning. And then last year, 2024, which could technically be viewed as the final year of the all-in approach, the F those draft picks approach.
The Arctic Blast.
It turned into 6.5 games without Tua. You know, the 18th best offense in the NFL, total yards, 24th in points. And when it was with Tua, it was dead last. When it was without Tua, it was dead last. In that 3-year process, they just were snake bitten, troubled by injuries, fell apart. Okay.
Is it totally snake bitten when you're relying on guys who have a very long injury history and
that's where the fail comes from. Mm-hmm. Because the reasons that you outline are all valid, but at the same token, you build a roster with that high probability of happening. A whole bunch of guys that have a high probability. This is why I always go into the season telling people there's possibilities and there's probabilities. You want to talk possibilities? We look great. I mean, we got a good chance every year.
Mm-hmm.
But probability, can this guy stay healthy? Can that guy stay healthy? Can he elevate his coach game? Can he take it's too many probabilities. I don't get it. Like some teams, every team has probability issues. But some have more than others. Miami going to the season with 20 questionable probabilities. The Ravens, Chiefs, they go in the season with 10. There is a difference. And so that's the problem.
Let me ask you a question. TD already answered this. Very simple yes or no. I'll start it off. Dolphins don't make the playoffs. Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel safe. I say no. Omar?
I say hell no.
Alan?
It's not a yes or no answer. The circumstances matter. Not an automatic yes or no. I don't buy that.
You win 9 games and lose 8 and miss the playoffs?
Or here, Alan, should they be gone? Safe. How about that?
You should.
Should they be gone if they don't make the playoffs, Alan?
Go, Omar wanted to say something.
I think it is, and here's the reason why I think it is. In all the years that I've known Steve Ross, his greatest fear, his boogeyman, mm-hmm. is apathy, a fan base that doesn't care. And we are borderline on the fan base that doesn't care right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a level of regret for actually running it back, because I don't think he expected the fan base to be at a point of apathy. And so you cannot run it. Okay, how do you get fans excited? Okay, go spend big, which Ross would probably not object to spending big, except for the fact that you're spending big with these same leaders, which means it's going to produce ultimately the same result. So, no, you have to have a reset. And I also think, on top of that, when you look at his disastrous history of hiring, and it has been disastrous for the Dolphins organization, I'm not going to restate it, but from Dennis Hickey when you look at his history of hiring, what always stands in his way is, I'm forcing you to accept this person. Mm-hmm. You have to, if you want the job, you have to do work with this coach. If mm-hmm. you want the job, you have to work with this GM. If you want the job, you have to work with this quarterback. I think he should have learned from that on the fifth time and done something differently. Just a guess.
He should have, or he should coming up.
He will. I think he will.
And my problem, Doug, on this is I don't think he will, because when I hear you say I value the continuity, and in our mind, it was like, okay, he's giving them one more year. But then you come out and say we reset. That should have already been determined. So if we value continuity, we're resetting. Is Ross really holding them accountable for a reset year? Unless they win 5 or 6 games, that's different. But 9 wins, I'm at a point now I don't see him.
But he also said, and this is what drove me nuts about his little letter to us. He also said status quo isn't good enough, even though he's keeping the status quo, and the play on the field wasn't good enough. So it's like, if status quo isn't good enough, which has been the thing with the Dolphins for 20-something years, where we're just status quo, we're picking around, you know, 10 to 17, 18. It's always just status quo. Maybe this is the time he gets his head out of his butt, but, you know.
Not if they're close. If it goes off the rails, absolutely. But if it's like, for example, they go 9-8 and they lose a game and then miss the playoffs because of an egregiously bad call that for some reason wasn't overturned by a replay or whatever. I know Omar's giving me the...
Yeah, I got some loaded in the paper as well. It's like I'm right for you.
I'll grant you that, Omar, it's out there. But I don't think we can go ahead and say definitively, without question, no playoffs are gone.
If you go 9-8 with a lesser roster, Ross could also say, hey, you've dumbed it down, and so the base that you have right now is a good starting point. I mean, that's how he may look at it, and let's build on this. And oh my gosh, I mean, all of this is just like bothering me right now because it's the reality.
We kind of see that with Philman though? Like, didn't Philman get fired after they kind of went on a little tear and then they fell apart? That was out of 4. Because my point to yours, Alan, is if say they have like last year's season where they started 2-6 and then they went on a 6-2 tear, I don't think they survive a 2-6.
It depends how the 2-6 is reached, though. That's the thing. With Phil, there is similarities with Philbin, is because at a time when a lot of people thought Philbin should be fired or was going to get fired, Stephen Ross tells us, hey, Merry Christmas. You guys don't have to worry about a coaching search. He's coming back when we kind of all knew, oh, this is not going to work out well. Yeah. 4 games the next season, he's gone. I don't think it's the same with Mike, because Mike's a better coach. But it's the same situation where a lot of fans wanted McDaniel gone after last year. And he's coming back in, quote unquote, hot seat or not. I mean,
but fans always want the players gone, always want the coaches gone. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed with the difference, and I love that comparison that you make about Philbin, because we've been part of so many fired coaches that we can smell it when it's coming. The difference that I've noticed right now is at the beginning of Philbin, you knew players didn't believe. They were just really going through the motions, and then they, truthfully speaking, played like it. They played like they were going through the motions, and then eventually the coach realized, I mean, the owner realized, I got to whack this guy, and then I got to do something to stir this team up and insert Dan Campbell and see how this goes, see how this plays out. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is, even if this team has not checked out, and this team is –
Great.
This team has turned up the volume on a lot of things, including their intensity, including things to challenge them to be mentally tougher, including leaders that have to step up. They have accepted a lot of challenges that Mike has put down. And what I will say is I always like how Mike evolves every season. What I will say is we don't know how they handle adversity when they get punched in the mouth. And they will be punched in the mouth again.
Week 3.
We won't know until week 3.
And we absolutely know when this team gets punched in the mouth, they go running to mommy and daddy. And we don't know if they will do that this time.
It might be before week 3. It might be week 2. How will they handle it?
I don't think the Patriots are ready to be punching yet. I think they're still learning.
Man, I ain't never seen a Vrabel team not punch.
Yeah, but not week 2 into a new team.
I think people underestimate how long it takes people to learn a new offense, a new defense, and they generally don't get click until probably about mid season.
Yeah, you and I, it's funny because this came up on social media today that you and I agree on certain things, disagree on other things. That's one thing I'm totally not on board with you on that. I'm sorry.
Depend on the personnel. It depends on the personnel.
And Vrabel is going to establish a physicality and a mindset on that team from the get-go, which is what Dan Campbell did in Detroit from the start, even though they
Dan Campbell didn't have success at the start.
Didn't have the talent. And New England has some talent on certain areas. Their defense has the potential.
Oh, their defense is
really good.
All I'm saying is look at Winfield's, Travis Winfield's interview with Anthony Weaver that just came out on Dolphins. Give him a shout out. Good interview. All you hear about is, you know, we didn't figure out the defense until we didn't get comfortable in the defense until midseason. And then we're expecting now to turn up the volume on it. And yes, that and we're talking about a top five defense last year.
Mm-hmm. They were 10th in the NFL to end point in yards allowed. It's not top five. Let's get our facts straight.
The fifth in points in points allowed.
Yards,
okay,
fifth in yards.
It depends on how you factor it in. But what I'm saying is, and it's even worse on offense. You always hear people say, like, how many rookies have you heard Poupard say, oh, yeah, I got the playbook, like Ollie Gordon. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, this is easy. You know, I've mastered this. And then you hear in year two, man, I didn't know what I was doing. I have no idea of what was going on. I really didn't know the playbook. It's always the same thing. And when you install a new offense, that's how it is. They eventually find their footing in week number 6, 7, 8, and then they start to become who they are. I say this all the time about the 2011 team, Dolphins team. That was actually a good team, and it was actually a good offense. What handcuffed that team is they began with a new offense, Brian Daboll's offense. And remember, that was the lockout year where they didn't have any time to work and install anything. So
they had no offseason either. There's a different. But and by the way, my apologies. I owe you an apology, Omar. They were fourth in total yards allowed on defense last year. So bad Allen.
So yeah. Allen. Yeah. But my point about that team, when I tell you the talent that was on that team, you'll be like, where really? Reggie Bush, Charles Clay, Brandon Marshall, Brian Hartline. Like that team started humming with
Chad
Matt Moore.
Chad Henne.
No. And then when it became Matt Moore, it started going off.
But they started 0-6.
Yeah, exactly. But then they started rocking and rolling.
Yes, they were good.
But part of the struggles were the fact that they didn't know their offense. They had just learned the offense, had to start playing the season, and then they got their face kicked in for the first six games. Now, it doesn't help that your quarterback sucks, but Matt Moore was out there. Him and Brandon Marshall were just out there doing hip taps, changing plays up the line of scrimmage. Like,
maybe the most explosive game the Dolphins had in Mike McDaniel's rookie year was at Baltimore. That was week two. So it didn't take him that long to figure out the offense, or was
that
it just
two of being great, baby?
Sure. Yeah.
Doug, you saw me go at him. Yeah,
just like that.
They can't say nothing about Baltimore, baby. They can't say nothing about Baltimore.
They didn't cover anybody in the secondary that game.
About Baltimore, they just get real just quiet. Like that
Chicago Bulls documentary. That's all.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, before we get to these donations, we got 716 people in here. Be sure to hit that like button. I'm pretty sure Tuesday next week we'll go more in depth with the season and kind of look at, you know, what we're expecting here and there. But let's jump into these donations. And this one starts with Chip Kincaid with a $20 donation. He said, it's his first flight attendant crush. Have a great weekend. Happy Labor Day.
No. I told y'all, I'm not messing with my crushes. I don't want to do that anymore.
Dude, yeah, why are they crushes?
because they're gonna remain crushes. I'm just gonna light them from afar. I'm not gonna date them because anytime
the the illusion is now ruined.
Yes, exactly. There, thank you, Poupard. You get me.
I do. Like,
man, all the women I have crushes on, they're all toxic. It's just my nature. I am drawn to toxicity.
I mean, you toxic, Omar. That's what that is. Stop taking them on. Hey, stop taking them on the first date. The Tootsies. Yeah.
My Jose was forever said the expectation.
Depending on what she into.
Oh my gosh.
The expectation for the Dolphins is to disappoint us yet again. That's my mentality every year going into it. Rather be surprised than let down.
Will Jose be disappointed considering he's expecting to be disappointed, so that your expectations are non-existent?
I will say this. As a Dolphin fan, whenever I expect nothing, they do really well. Like 2008, we didn't expect anything. 2016, we didn't expect anything. We didn't expect anything. But then we expected something 2009, 2017, and fell on. So when we don't expect anything as a fan, they tend to like come out and do. Like, watch us go 3-0, and all of a sudden we're
this team is way better than this fan base thinks they are. This team is way better, in my opinion, they are.
Hold on. Poupard
might disagree.
No. Maybe. But here's the thing, though. 2009, there was a problem because if you remember, that opening schedule was a complete joke. It was against three teams that had made the playoffs last year and two on the road. And then also the Dolphins had gotten exposed a little bit in the playoff game when they got papowed by the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't know that 2009 expectations were necessarily sky high. And there were some people in 2008, the second the Dolphins got Chad Pennington and saw that first practice, were like, yeah, there could be something happening here. Mm. Anyway, I digress.
I just need us to go 4-0 to start the season.
Yeah.
And 4-0. then we go on 15-2.
You better put the crack pipe down. 4-0.
Hold on. So we can't beat the Colts?
You can.
We can't beat the Patriots?
You can.
We can't beat the Jets?
Is it Jets?
You skipped the game. Jets week 4. I skipped one for a reason. Because I don't need to ask you about Buffalo. We getting the win this year.
Oh, okay.
Y'all need to realize Buffalo is not as special as y'all think.
You said that last year.
You keep saying that.
This is what y'all forget about last year. I already brought this up earlier this week. That double agent Poyer with the pass interference.
Well, now we got Rasul Douglas. So,
man, he need to be on practice squad that week. I don't trust him. But I'm telling you, we're gonna beat Buffalo in Buffalo starting the season out early. And when we go 4-0, that's when y'all gonna realize we're going 15-2.
All right.
If we go 4-0, if we don't go 4-0, it's over.
Grandma had one, should be grandpa.
All right, y'all gonna see.
I don't see 4-0. But
Jeffrey Towers said, DDWY head coach after 2-6 went 6-2, kept the team together.
He's asking, why hate Doug? Why are you?
Why hate coach? Because of the teams he faced as well. You got to take that into consideration when they went 6-2. You what?
That now.
Raiders, Patriots. Well, to a certain extent. Jets. And then you crap the bet against Houston. You crap the bet against the Jets at the end of the year. You know, it
wasn't.
How was that different than previous years, though?
Hold on. Wait.
How was that different than previous years, though? Beating up on bad
teams. Exactly. And that's why I wanted him gone. I thought they were going to. He's asking me, why did I want him gone at the end of the year? And why am I so critical of him? It's because in 2023, we saw that. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, he will learn from this. And he didn't learn from nothing.
Yeah. What tackles were they playing with against Houston?
But again, there's only so far.
What were they playing with against Houston? You didn't answer my question.
Injuries again.
But see here, always, with the Houston game,
were
right?
They not injuries?
But you're right. But it always comes back to injuries.
I didn't say that it doesn't. But I'm like, when I learned at that game in that stadium that they were playing with whatever his name is, Jackson Carmen at right tackle, playing his first game at right tackle ever. I said, "Oh, this is an L. Put whatever money you got on it." It made no sense.
his interceptions weren't because of the offensive line is what the problem was as well.
Okay. Hold on.
Who's interceptions?
Who's interceptions?
Oh. Go ahead, yeah. Amando.
The interceptions were a byproduct of the defense, the head coach of Houston working intimately with Mike and knowing how he thinks and how he operates and created a game plan that gave Tua challenges. That's correct. But Tua also had one receiver and one tight end in that game.
You're talking about tackles, though. Whoa, you're coming.
Oh, no. Okay, you're talking about the interceptions. But then when you speed up my processing speed because I have no protection, I have no interior line, I have no running game, what do you want me to do?
But see, make a better decision.
They lost 20-12 with the defense keeping him in the game and giving him chance after chance after chance. And then don't tell me the three picks weren't a major difference.
And, okay, three picks were a major difference. But the third pick was a guy who caught the ball initially getting it snatched out of his hand. Let's be real. Better. He caught the ball.
Oh, Doug. Whoa, Doug.
What did he say?
Should throw it better. Give me all that
good. Come on, Allen over here.
I just put my Tua.
One thing you will never say about Tua is that he does not throw a catchable deep ball. He throws a catchable deep ball.
For Derek Stingley.
It is catchable for him too, but it's catchable. All right?
Man,
or you get PI. Either way, the yards count, people. Don't disrespect that.
But here's my thing, right? Because I just made my Tua expectation video today, and, you know, obviously – for me, this is it for Tua. It's either now or never. He has games where he craps the bed, right? Like, you give him 8 hard opponents. I would say about 6 of them he plays really well. 2 of them he craps the bed. And unfortunately, you can make that face. I'll pull up stats. See, this is where it comes from.
Dyslexic.
Nope.
Reverse that.
Nope. Because he'll have these bad games, right, where he will – have Houston, where that
multiple
in Houston, Green Bay, the year before, you know, in 2022, he had the Chargers and the 49ers. It's like he'll have these spurts of games, but then throughout the season, he plays well. I will not make those excuses for those bad games. And that Houston Texans game, it was a bad game by him. They could have won that game. They very easily could have won that game.
Yeah, if the receiver catches the ball.
If you do it better.
Are you going to put, oh, wow. Are you serious?
Who did he catch it first?
They were down eight. So you're assuming
that, and that would have put them in scoring territory if he would, and you would have given them more time to continue to drive the ball.
They've been at midfield, and you're going to assume that they would have.
But here, Omar, here's the problem with that. It's first and 10. You're down by 8. Your thought process is, because I think he underthrew it, but let's say his thought process was, I'm going to throw it to my 5'11", 2-bad wrist wide receiver. And I'm going to 50-50 ball it. First
and
10.
Who was the number 1 player in the NFL Network's player poll ranking?
With 2 bad wrists, first and 10, down by 8? That's your – I honestly
– When do you want me to throw it? You want me to throw it deep on 3rd and 10?
Here's the thing. If he threw the ball correctly, like he probably wanted to, it's caught and touchdown.
See, because I'm throwing it 10, and I know this offense. I'm throwing it deep on first down because I'm going to use the next 3 downs to get myself a first down.
Yeah, but he underthrew it is my point.
He didn't underthrew it. He threw a catchable ball that the receiver caught and then got snatched from him.
Okay, tonight we have Omar to our agents.
No. Did he catch the ball first? You could pull.
It hit his hands first. Absolutely.
No. It was in his hands first, and he got it snatched out.
It still was a bit underthrown. It doesn't change the first 2 interceptions, and it also, that's a big stretch to say, well, that's completed, and the Dolphins go down to score a touchdown. They get a 2-point conversion. They get a 3-and-out on defense, and then Tua leads them to a field goal drive, and they went 23-20.
No. You get a 2-point conversion. It's a tie. Okay, you're right.
And then I know. Then they get a 3-and-out, and they get the ball back.
No. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Houston Texans game was not on Tua. He did not play bad. I think y'all are over exaggerating that situation.
No, that was one of his worst games.
That was not.
Mike got out coached. No question about it.
At the end of the day, that game was because everybody was hurt. The offensive lineman had three extra penalties than normal. Mike McDaniel didn't eat eggs that morning.
Is that what's happening right now?
Whatever other reason we can make up, all right? Whatever reasons we can make up.
I see what he's doing now.
Rocco with the fiver said, didn't think
he should have been that game.
Didn't think Eli did bad, not great, but when he held it down, Perk would agree. If Douglas could match Eli's production, then we should be okay at cornerback spot.
Douglas. Who is Douglas?
Rasul Douglas. If Rasul Douglas plays like Eli Apple, they should fire everybody.
Some respect for Eli Apple name.
Yeah. By the way, Eli Apple is now on the San Francisco 49ers practice squad.
Okay. That guy is he's gonna make it like 12 years in the league.
Hey, so that's Robbie, success.
So Robbie, Omar, so is Robbie chosen.
That's success. Garp-
yeah. The practice squad? Robbie's on the practice squad for the 49ers?
There you go.
Damn.
I saw Robbie. That. It was like, why is everybody's circumstance the worst with us?
Nah, Robbie, let it go. I'm not even gonna.
Garp Gump with the tenor says 2025 Fins equals 1990 Fins. Record 12-4, division place second AFC East. Playoff one wild card playoff versus the Chiefs. 17-6, lost divisional playoff at Bills 34-44.
Anybody spot the error in that?
No.
No, it's accurate.
That whole thing is accurate. Come on, Alan, you better than this.
Well, it's not the same thing because in 2025 there'll be 17 games, but all the stats from 1990 are accurate, including 44-34, and including I'm going to bring back a bad memory from for Dolphin fans who saw that game in 1990. Mike Reichenbach dropped interception that could have turned the game around when the Dolphin defense could not stop the K gun, and Mike Reichenbach had an interception in his hands. He bobbled it, chance to turn the game around. And then Buffalo just went back to keep scoring the way they did.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know.
This is why I got the white hair here, and I can provide some information on those.
Well, I don't think I can name two players on that 1990 team. I think I was in eighth grade.
Dan Marino.
Yeah, Dan Marino was a quarterback.
Wellow with the fiver says, Doug, bigger question. If Tua stays healthy all season and we only win 8 or 9 games, is Tua still on the team? I think that would be up to the new head coach.
Absolutely. Personally.
Tua got this year and next year. For sure, at least. I think.
Yes.
I agree with you. I think if they do that and they don't make the playoffs and the GM and the head coach are gone and they bring in a new GM, a new head coach, it's up to them. I leave it up to them.
Tannehill got 7. Tua gets 7.
That's a pain.
But did Tannehill deserve 7? That's the biggest question.
It was a
no.
Guys, there you go.
He deserved the 6.
Yeah,
but he ended up getting the 7. So,
DeGreat with the fiver says, Cowboys, is it smart team building to pay Dak 60 mil, CD 30 mil, and then Micah 48 mil? Or do what Jerry did, 130 to 3 players. Thoughts?
What? One, I hate when people bring up those numbers because those are all fake numbers.
Mm-hmm. You can't look at yearly.
Oh my God. It took you that long to come out with your line of those are fake numbers.
They are fake numbers. Dak is not making $40 million a year. D is not making $30 million a year. I believe he's making 22. And Michael, when we get the confirmation of what the real deal is, Michael will probably be making 35-ish. But anyway, let's...
136 guaranteed, supposedly.
Yeah. How much are you guaranteed?
136.
136 over probably 4 years.
Yeah.
What was it, 4 years?
It's a 4-year contract, but we know it's the 3-year.
It'll be 34 guaranteed.
Anyway, I don't care. Listen, people.
Yes, you do, because you keep bringing it up every single time. No,
because I hate that we despise, and I despise this, that we as media members
hate it or despise it.
Put out just parrot out fake numbers all the time, fake numbers, fake, and we can't do any better because we're too lazy. But that's fine. Am I lying? Am I lying? I can pull up right now what Dak Prescott makes. It's not $60 million a year.
Omar, I understand that, but I love
Omar, Omar, even with the real numbers, even with the real numbers, though, it still impacts, though. They're more than anybody.
Look at every NFL team's financial books, and this is something that I do on a regular basis annually in the summer, May and June. Every NFL team is paying 8 players, if not less, and then they've got they've got 30 something players under the roster that's making less than $6 million, and if not 20 something players making $1 million and 0.4. Like the Dolphins roster, it's laughable. Most people think the Dolphins roster is full of thousandaires. They're not millionaires. They're thousandaires. They're probably 30 players that are making less than $1.4 million a year this year. That's just the reality of the economics of the NFL when, you know, they changed the contracts and the language and the money and hoped that it would benefit the middle class. And all it did was bring up the bottom floor and make the rich people even more richer. It didn't bring up the minimum. It didn't bring up the middle class, and it should have brought up the middle class. But the middle class salary is still around $6 million a year. A starter in the NFL makes $6 million a year, and it hasn't changed for the last 10 years. Now you got the big money guys. The difference is instead of making $18 million a year, they're making $30 million a year now. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Jay Tillman, new member, shout out to you. Devin,
by the way, to answer the original point, regardless of the numbers, even if you agree with the idea of not paying three guys that much to take up that much of a salary cap, if that's your rationale for trading Micah Parsons, you don't trade him on August 28th, you trade him around draft time.
There was a reason it happened the way it did, and it's the way Jerry handled that entire situation. Yeah. Devin with the tenor says, do you think the roster is set at 53, or do you foresee any new free agent additions before the season starts? I think Justin Simmons would be a good fit at safety over Ashton Davis. You're probably going to see a ton of signings after week first when their contracts aren't guaranteed.
Week after week two, when contracts don't have to be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
They're not signing Justin Simmons.
No.
And the Justin Simmons ain't trying to come here. Simmons is probably chasing a ring.
Eagles.
We go 4-0, we gonna get one.
Listen, yeah, they're calling me toxic. I have to really give this some serious consideration.
Omar gonna look in the mirror tonight.
Who are you?
I don't think we're done tinkering with the roster. I'm like thinking about, I'm going on a date.
Where you're really thinking about it. I can see it in your brain. Like thinking like, man.
Is it, am I the problem? Oh, is it me?
Oh, man.
So bad. Ross Lang with the Fiver says, how about a positive? If too much negative in the air, how do you all see Greer and McDaniel if they do make a second round of or AFC championship?
I'll be back.
That's it. They gotta win, man. Just win.
The pivot is investing in young draft players and playing them. Yep. It's a lot easier to do that on defense because you don't have to learn the ridiculously complicated playbook. But we're also going to have an offensive player in Ollie Gordon get out there and play and contribute. And the one thing you hear all the time now, unfortunately, is he needs to get a better grasp of the playbook. And at some point, Mike has to realize, hey, I might need to simplify and dumb this thing down.
Void's entry with the Fiver says, hey, Alan, have you been told you look like a slightly older Pedro Pascal with your hat off? Also,
love... you call me old.
Also, love the show. Best Finn podcast out there. And TD's the goat.
Yeah.
I haven't been told that. It might have been by my wife, actually. I have to double check with her after this.
As long as she likes it, it's all good. Who is Pedro Pascal?
You don't know who Pedro Pascal is?
You do look like Pedro Pascal. I don't know.
His older brother.
You tell him, babe. My wife in the background says, "I love it."
It's not an episode of the Dolphin Collective if we don't hear from Linnell TV.
True. You do
a
little.
TD with a tenor. He says, TD.
Hey, I'm going to figure out a way to block Lino.
Yeah. I reached out to YouTube executive. They said, I'm paying customer. You have my questions. But I just asked the studious, brilliant, best Finns reporter of our generation.
Okay, so obviously this is addressed to me, so I'll go ahead.
Thank you, Alec. Go ahead, Alec.
Record B.
Obviously, since Lino's got this going on, Lino clearly doesn't think you're toxic, Omar.
At all.
There you go. Go ahead, Omar. It's all yours.
I'm at 8 and 9 right now. I've said from the very beginning that you more than anybody know what I'm uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. I like the moves that were made at the end of this week. I like all the additions. They make sense to me. I'm so thankful that Kendall Lamb is here. I can't promise you that he's going to be an elite player, but if something happens to Patrick Paul, you got an insurance policy.
Is the season over now if Patrick Paul gets hurt? Now that Kendall
Lamb... No, it's not. We. But what I will say is, I've said from the beginning, I stand by this, the Dolphins season will be determined by how good the run game is. Yeah. And we haven't seen that offensive line work yet to collectively. So I can't right now tell you that they're going to be good. And I can't tell you, and I'm absolutely positive, that they're not going to be healthy. And the way I saw Liam limp around trying to hide from me, let me know that, hey, he ain't coming back anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm like Liam's limp was not like, oh, I just had a scope. Nah, that thing was like, oh, I had corrective surgery. Mm. So depth wise, you know, let's hope they have a healthy season. If they have a Buffalo Bills, everybody's healthy for 17 game season. Okay. You got a chance to win 10, 11 games. If you start getting watered down and Jake and what's his name? Driscoll. What's his name? Driscoll. Daniel Brunskill.
Mm-hmm. Driscoll was last year.
Yeah. If Daniel Brunskill has to start, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble.
Well, here you got another one from Rick with the tenor. He says, Omar, what three moves do we make to be a playoff team? I think it's a little late on that, but what three moves?
Let me think about that. What three moves?
Brent Grimes.
Stop it.
Xavier Howard.
Stop it. Listen.
Tom Brady.
I will say this.
Chad Johnson.
Brent's still a freakish athlete.
Omar, I'm playing with you.
I know. No, but I'm saying y'all play. Brent is still a freakish. Brent is still in great condition. He's playing tennis because his son's in a tennis academy, so he's all tennised out. But trust me, Brent Grimes probably right now could probably be better than 2/3 of the cornerbacks on your team just because
he hasn't played in 4 years. Come on,
man. He's an athletic freak of nature.
Yeah, no argument.
Okay, I'm gonna get them putting up a video of him jumping out of a pool without.
I do want to see that.
I've seen videos of offensive linemen do that. It's not.
You have not seen a video.
Yes, but I have. I think it may have been Tristan Wirfs actually. I think.
Yeah. No, there was a big boy that did that. Yeah.
Jump out of! Oh man! Y'all,
yes, jump out of.
Yeah, it was like a four. It was the water was like up to his waist, so it was like a 4 foot deep like end of the pool, right out onto the thing.
That's ridiculous.
I can't do that. My knees would blow out if I tried to do that.
I can do it with some AI.
I don't know what they. I'm good with where they are, except for from a depth standpoint. I think the biggest mystery to me is Darren Waller. I wrote a column about that in the Herald. Like, this is like the big, this is like,
so weird. Like, weird.
It's weird. I've never, and I did the numbers today. And the fact that, did you know 25% of their passes went to tight ends last year? Like, yeah.
Johnny was the second leading receiver on the team.
I know, but for 25% of your passes to go to tight ends, that's a huge chunk. And Tua doesn't want to turn down that volume. He probably wants to keep it consistent, maybe turn it down to 20% of the passes. If the deep ball is still working, they want to throw less checkdowns. But, like, we don't have a clue how good Darren Waller is. We have not seen him run a route. Not one. Mm-hmm. Like,
Will he ever?
Right, no, he will. He will. They're gonna take the bubble wrap off him.
We think it, but it's the whole thing's been insanely weird.
We got 10 minutes and we got a lot of donations to get through. So let's blast through these. Glenn with the tour says, are we bringing in peppers? No, right.
Why? How does that make any sense? I saw
a lot of people wanted that, but we're good. We with the Fatu with Micah Fitzpatrick, we don't need Jabril Peppers anymore.
Jabril Peppers is more of a special teams player than a good safety.
Mm. Mm.
Bigger more, but he's
not. Let me go boot with the tenor when, says. When
has Jabril Peppers ever been good in the NFL?
I haven't really followed him, if I'm being honest with you. Why hasn't Coach devolved running the same plays the league has caught up to?
I disagree with that. I would argue to you that the league has caught up to it because they had no running game. When they had a run game, they were the number one offense in the NFL. And teams had to pick your poison.
He's evolved. It just hasn't worked out the way we want. We switch the game whenever we can't run the ball to bubble screens and extension of the run, that type of stuff. So it's just, you know, I mean.
He's evolved, but not in the right way or in the right direction that we wanted. Oh, we can't run the ball. So we'll.
Or the execution hasn't been.
Last year, he had to dumb it down a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which. Sanch with the tenor says, I paused Alien Earth to watch you guys. I love the different personalities. Very entertaining. I have been trying to watch Alien Earth.
What is this Alien Earth?
Please. It is a series that's on Hulu, but it's also on TV. I think it's on FX. And new? It's Alien. It takes place after Alien 1, before Aliens, if I'm remembering correctly. And I've been trying to watch it, but every time I go on
to watch it. Oh, it's about aliens coming to the Earth?
No, I don't know. I haven't watched it yet, but it's something like that. It involves aliens and the xenomorphs and all that stuff. I've been wanting to watch it, but it keeps freezing every time I watch it. Heeing me off.
I'm going to tell you something. Maybe the aliens are controlling the feed.
Yeah. I honestly think I tried to play it too, and it froze. I'm not even with you. Like
Jeffrey Towers, Fiverr, says, bro, Snoop and Jets third-string quarterbacks. Coach did his best in that stretch. Yes, and this is towards me because of what I said before, but also, isn't that also Mike McDaniel's fault that was your backup quarterback, as we're in that same exact situation again?
They tried, is what I'm told. I was told this. They tried. Yeah, they kept
you would think, out. And this is where, again, I get frustrated with McDaniels. You would think you would learn. Okay, I have a quarterback who unfortunately can't stay healthy. I need to have a viable backup that can win me 3 out of 6 if he's gone. Nope, I'm going to go get Zach Wilson. It's like you, Mike White. It's one after the other. So
who would you have signed? Give me
I had
name.
A name. I don't even remember anymore. At this point, it doesn't really matter.
Flacco didn't want to come.
Flacco was probably one of the names.
Flacco starting for the Cleveland Browns. I always say Joshua Dobbs. Calm down,
Doug. Get yourself in trouble.
I always say Joshua Dobbs, but even Joshua Dobbs, he signed up for more money with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the backup. No offense to Zach Wilson's family and fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always think I hate people. Like I'm hating on people. I was walking in and Zach was talking to, I was walking into the building for our interviews the other day and Zach was talking. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who he was talking to, but he was just like being honest and transparent about how he's doing and what he's struggling with. And I'm watching him after practice. He's working on throwing on the move. He knows what his issues are and he's working to fix them. The question is, can he fix them? Mm-hmm. And when, by the time they need him, will they be fixed? I don't know that.
Skyler fixed.
Is he though?
Made the 53 in Pittsburgh.
Did he, Omar?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he missed out on the legend.
Yeah, man. Everybody had disrespected Skyler. Skyler had made 53 rosters.
He did the same exact thing in Miami.
Doug, he made the 53. He's worthy.
He made the 53 in Miami.
Yeah, by default. They draft. They had to give him an opportunity.
Just because of that, TD, we got another donation from
Lance.
$5. Also, TD, put your money up on the Bills game, and whatever Finns too, I'll take all your money.
I already told you, Lino, $5 on a charity of your choice. So the Buffalo Bills non-Super Bowl fund, I don't mind donating to.
Bill Jones with the 20 says, I respect Poop, but his reaction for Wilson over yours is weak. Yes, Wilson has seen NFL defenses, yeah, but apparently he's not good about using that knowledge, or else he wouldn't be on his third team in 4 years. Just saying, I kind of agree with that.
Be careful with you what you wish for. If it's yours playing an NFL regular season game for the first time, and his head is going like,
yeah, and saying Zach Wilson's head isn't going to go like that.
There's rookies that head go like that. This
first rounders. You think teams are going to change how they play Zach Wilson based on what they already know about Zach Wilson? They're going to blitz the crap out of him, expecting him not to be able to pick it up.
He's got a body of knowledge of knowing what to expect and what it's going to look like. Quinn Ewers has no clue what an NFL regular season defense looks like.
Jose with the fiver says, no passes for injured players. We consistently get injured players. That's on Greer and coach, so they got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Kind of used as an excuse last year too, with the whole, oh, you know, we wanted to see what Keon Smith could do. He got injured and yada yada. No more excuses, man.
Yeah, some point you can't use that no more.
Aaron with the fiver said, is there a scenario Tua plays every game and misses the playoffs, let's say 9-8, and stills the quarterback in 2026?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like in all honesty, if he has like what Joe Burrow did last year, 100%. Then
we can go 2-15 and he still may be the quarterback next year.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that stalemate year where while they're figuring out what they want to do moving forward, he's still the quarterback.
Tua is absolutely going to be paid his contract in 2026. The question is, are they going to be able to trade him to another team? And I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if we don't know what's going to happen.
Contract is guaranteed, so yes, he's getting his money in 2026.
He's going to ball out this year, and none of this is relevant.
There you go.
I hope so, man. I really do. The Roven Dread, new member, shout out to you. Figueroa, $2. He said, oh, Omar on skates, he underthrew the Tyree pass. CCJJSS with the fiver says, yeah, I don't care about this season. I expect us to suck.
You never know, dude. You never know.
I expect them to be good as long as they stay healthy.
Yeah. Jacob Williams with the fiver says,
win games as long as they score more points than the opponents.
What are your stat expectations for Tyreek this year?
1,100 yards.
Yeah. Just stay on the field. That's all I really care about. Good. Zach, well, if it's spread out, you know, if him and Waddle are both, you know, 1,100 yards.
Tyreek finds 1,100.
Tyreek want it spread out. I want Tyreek.
Tyreek needs 15 plus. 15 plus.
I don't know if he's that player anymore, man.
Oh my gosh. Are
That's
you
a whole
kidding
nother
me?
Video. That's a whole if nother video.
He's going to break down. That's my concern with Tyreek.
I don't know if he's that player anymore, man.
Y'all think this is the incline just tipped or something? No, do not look at last year. I'm sorry. Y'all giving too much slander to that man. Is not on his way down. I think he's still got another 2 to 3 years of elite play.
I think he's got 2 to 3 years of top end play, not elite. And here's my reasoning why. The body, Poop is right. The body is starting to break down. And when you get 30, this is scientifically proven. It just takes longer for you to heal. The same injury at 24. You back in 3 weeks. At 30, you back in 6 weeks. It's just a reality.
The injury's okay in the body, but I thought y'all meant just his skill.
No.
Oh, he's fast. I don't think I've ever seen him run faster than the day that he strained his oblique.
Zach Berry with the $2 said, if Eli Apple is the standard, we have a big problem.
if every starting cornerback plays like Eli Apple, they'll be all right.
B White Taker, been a member for 3 months, said Whittaker, sorry. Omar has lost all objectivity when it comes to Tua.
I disagree. I just see a different quarterback that a lot of people don't see. I see a different person than a lot of people don't see.
A lot of people or nobody?
A lot of people. Because there's a lot
everybody,
of
everybody. Everybody, my bad.
There's a lot. The team sees it. They believe.
Are you back? Omar, are you back again on he has the it factor, or are we not there yet?
I need to see the it factor, but I've never lost hope that he has the it factor. The question is, will it show? And I've never not believed that he didn't have the it factor. His things didn't drop yet. Waiting six seasons is a long time to wait. My max is 7, okay? My max is 7.
Ooh, we got another year, Omar.
Hey, man, I will say this. In defense of that, there are really great quarterbacks that didn't win their first playoff game until their sixth season. So we'll see. Not saying Tua is gonna or he is, but we'll see. James with the tenor says, isn't Lamb an improvement over Larry Borum, who was last seen getting out of his way of pass rushers in Chicago?
He is definitely an improvement and upgrade at left tackle. I do not think he's an improvement at right tackle. I'm a Kendall Lamb fan. Card-carrying member of the fan club, but Kendall Lamb at right tackle is very mediocre.
And I didn't see any of his snaps, but everybody who's seen him play this preseason said it was not good with the Eagles.
Aaron with the fiber says TD
he
looks
was also like playing Mack. Right tackle intentionally to try to get better at right tackle, which I've always said there is a when you watch practice, there's a clear difference between Kendall Lamb at left tackle and Kendall Lamb at right tackle.
Daw with the fiber said, do you guys think our future would have mapped out differently if we drafted Breeze?
No.
Yes.
No.
There you go.
Who's going to coach Breeze? Sean Payton was a key reason for his success.
That was 2001. Yeah, but you think Sean Payton made Drew Breeze?
I do.
Okay.
He was very average in San Diego, which is why they moved on to Phillip Rivers.
D-Bro with the
had a couple of good years though, but
let's be real about this, and I hate to say this now at 101 because everybody wants to go have their weekend. Let's be real about this. There's something dysfunctional about this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And from the defensive line pass rushing coach getting I walked into the building Thursday and I said, this is my final weekend. Just hope nobody gets arrested.
See that.
I literally those are my words I said this out loud walking into the practice facility. I'm like, this is my final weekend of freedom. I just hope nobody gets arrested. What happens? We didn't even get to the weekend
tonight. Outside linebacking coach gets arrested. D-Bro with a big $50 donation. He says, I love what you guys are doing. Doug, Allen, Omar are my guys, and I'm starting into like TD too.
Look at you.
We need to do a full season, a solid O-line and a decent defense play to have a chance. Look at TD turning people
over. D-Bro, man.
Look at that. Let's end it with a bang. Try hard with a fiver. Start 7-0, then ultimately collapse, lose every game afterwards. That was what, 94? What year was that where we went like 9-2 and missed the playoffs?
That was 94.
I think this person talking about this year, though.
I'm saying.
Quick history lesson. It was 93. The last game they won was the Thanksgiving Day game at Dallas, the Leon Lett game with Steve DeBerg at quarterback. The Cowboys didn't lose a game after that, went on to win their second straight Super Bowl. The Dolphins didn't win another game. They were 9-2, best record in the NFL after that day.
Any plans to reach the Madrid game? Not for me. I think one of you two beat writers are going to be there, right? Yeah.
I'll be there. I haven't booked my stuff yet, which makes me feel bad.
Greg with the fiber says, I understand everyone's concern with the cornerback room being that they are mostly unproven. At the same time, everyone in the league has had to prove it. That is very true.
It would be nice finally, if you had a guy in there that actually knew what they were doing, and they finally added one in Rasul Douglas.
Bob with the fiver says, does this O-line produce a 1K rusher this year? If so, which running back is more likely to act this? Also, does this secondary produce 10-plus interceptions?
No. And I'll give you a name. Your 1,000-yard rusher, if there is to be one in 2025, is Ollie Gordon.
Yep. I was going to say that.
I don't trust A-chain injuries.
No.
Correct. Carl,
he'll be more of a like an all-purpose. I see him as like a CJ Spiller type, more or all-purpose yards guy. Ooh. than uh, H-N.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You're dying to say something.
I ain't gonna lie. Ollie Gordon might be our future.
We'll see. Oh, we're gonna get out of here.
Yeah, y'all do that. You see how y'all always go with the rookie? It's a, like a Dolphin fan illness.
Hey man, who's a journalist,
and that's my objective opinion. If a Dolphin player is to rush for 1,000 yards in 2025, the most likely to do it is Ollie Gordon.
Wow. We're gonna get out of here. Omar's got a big night on the town.
And by the way, hold on. One last thing.
Omar, no.
He's the one who's saying play the rookie because he's got you got to see what you have. And now I make a push for a rookie, and Omar's shooting it down.
No. I think you're toxic, dude.
We're getting out of here. Go check out Omar Kelly on Miami Herald. Go check out Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. You can find TD Fins Talk on YouTube.com/TD Fins Talk. Myself on YouTube.com/Dougley Duong. We will be back Tuesday, 7:30. And then we will be back Friday, 6 o'clock? We'll see. But Friday is a big one, so we need to know because we are previewing the first game of the season. So let us know. Either comment below in the chat. 6:30 work for you guys. I saw a lot of people saying yes, so we might be early on Friday going to preview our first regular season game. And I think maybe Tuesday we'll talk about prediction. I don't know, man. We're getting out of here. We'll see.
Welcome, chat.
We'll see you in the next one. We'll see you Tuesday, 7:30. Peace.